Accession number 27268, Mr. Dennis Reed, Rail 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Reed?
Yeah, I could tell you exactly. 7 Henstridge Villas, St. John's Wood, London, St. Marylebone, on the 18th, 7/20.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Well, Dad was an active serving soldier in the Royal Horse Artillery, and he was always proud of the fact that he is the only regiment that could show its backside to the Queen or the King. He was very proud of that. Mum was a typical Londoner in service. Dad was a painter, decorator, a steward in the snooker club. He worked the average, what an average man did prior to the war.
Did you you lived in the St. John's Wood area, did you, then? That's where you lived during that period?
Yes.
And reasonably comfortable, or, you know?
They wasn't hard up for a penny, but they didn't have any to spare.
And what about your education? What do you remember about
education?
That?
I was just the ordinary LCC, Barrow Hill Road School, Barrow Hill Road, St. John's Wood, right opposite Lord's Cricket Ground. No academical achievements, apart from getting out of school with the average education.
Any particular subjects you liked or disliked?
Yes, woodwork. Pottery, sculpture.
You liked all that?
Oh yeah. The one I just couldn't stand was spelling. Couldn't do it. Apart from that, I was just an average schoolboy.
And what about sport? Any big interest in that?
Sports, football. No, that's about it. Football. I didn't play rugby. I didn't play tennis. Swimming, no. Football.
Did you play football for anybody at school or
just
enjoy it?
No, just Barrow Hill, just the school. Just the school. Goalkeeper.
And any big hobbies? Were you in the Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, anything like that?
I started off in the Cubs, I went into the Scouts, and then prior to the war I joined the Cadets, the Army Cadets, following in the Territorial Army.
I'll come to that. Tell us about the Boy Scouts. What sort of stuff do you do with them?
I wasn't with them all that long, other than being, I was a Boy Scout, you know. Don't ask me what troop I was in, apart from something St. John's Wood.
What kind of activities did they provide for you?
The usual things, tenting, hiking, weekends here, weekends there, nothing out of the ordinary, but that was about it.
Now, you left school, what, 1934?
I left school when I was 14.
And what job did you take? What was your first job?
First job I had was an errand boy, peddling a tradesman bike, if you may remember them, if you ever saw one. That was like a very heavy bike with an iron frame in front. Delivering wines and spirits.
Did you enjoy the work?
Yes, because I worked a good racket, but I better not say that.
No, that's all right. I mean, this is just a war.
No, it was enjoyable because you was left on your own. I worked for Wilson's Wine Store at Maida Vale, opposite the Fever Hospital. And when I said it was very... you may, because you got commissioned on the empties, and we used to have a big wicker basket that carried 24 bottles, and then the two ladies there would give me the order. I would then get the order off the shelves, fill it up, and I would then put about 3 or 4 empty bottles in as well, because when you came back you got commission on the empty bottles. You got, doesn't sound much nowadays, you got a penny a dozen beer bottles, threepence a dozen wine bottles, believe it or not, 2 and 6 months old money on a Hooper Struve siphon, and it was very profitable. They knew I'd done it, but they didn't say anything, you know. But my greatest pressure then, I think it would kill the average job teenager nowadays. They then got rid of the bicycle and gave me a three-wheel trike. That's like a big box in the front, two wheels and one at the back. And that was hard work pedalling that in Maid of Al. But happy as anything, yeah.
How many years, you 34 to when? How long were you doing that for?
I'd done that, I suffered that for about 2 if not 3 years. I then went into the studios.
Now what were you doing, what, where at?
You must have heard of them, Gainsborough, Paul Street, Islington. I went there as a jelly boy.
A what?
That's it, a jelly boy. Now, what a jelly boy was, as contrary to what you get nowadays on a film set, you had all round the set what's known as a rail. It was like a narrow platform, and all the lamps were fitted on there, 2 kilowatt, 5 kilowatt, whatever. And in front of the lamps, you had to fit a diffuser. They were, you probably heard of it, windoline, that stuff for glass, windoline. It's like a plastic wire. And if the cameraman wanted slightly less light on, say, Charlie Chan, then he'd call up, you had to put a diffuser in the light, and it diffused the light. They were known as jellies. And that was my responsibility, that each electrician up there had sufficient jellies. Amongst the films that I worked on was George Arliss, Dr. Sin, The Crazy Gang, Will Hay. Oh yes, they was good days, they were.
Sounds enjoyable.
It was an enjoyable job, yeah.
And did you progress from being Jelly Boy to anything else, or is that where you stayed?
No, you didn't stay. Because funny enough, once again, whether you remember, I don't know, that prior to the war, the cinema projectionists came out on strike, the ETU. And what they done, misguidedly, they called out the electricians from the film studios. So we all walked out, and I was out on strike for 6 months, and then they called it off. And the first job I was offered by the Labour Exchange was a cinema projectionist, which I lost a darn good job through. But no, that was, I finished there. So basically, at that time, no, I didn't progress from a jelly boy at Gainsborough.
And you did that, from 36 to...
Before
the war, 39?
Oh, before the war, yeah. Couple of years before the war.
So 38.
Yeah.
And did you take the job as a cinema projectionist then?
Well, in those days you had to. Because when you was on the Labour Exchange, you was offered 3 jobs in your own profession. If you didn't accept the 4th job, then they could send you anywhere they liked. So they offered me this job, so I took it. No regrets. That would be about, I won't swear to it, I think it would be about 1937.
Now, tell me, what was the job of a cinema projectionist like? Which cinema were you in?
Which cinema? The Savoy Cinema, Burnt Oak. It had the distinction of being the best equipped cinema, and I mean this, in the whole of Europe. Now, if I mention what equipment we had, it may not convey any information at all, but the best projector you can get was a Super Simplex. The best spotlight you could get was a Stelmer Spot. The sound, good heavens, I've forgotten what the sound was now. Oh, Western Electric. The sound was Western Electric. having all that in one combination was unique. I mean, down the road we had the Odeon Burnt Oak, and they may have had the Super Simplex machines, but not the spots. But it was the combination. Yeah.
And what was a typical day's work like for them? I mean, just, you know, or was it just in the evening?
Oh no, good heavens, no. We used to start work, the projectionists, about 11 o'clock in the morning. Because in those days you used to run the second feature, trailers, news, organ recital, feature. And that was one program. I mean, that was a complete program. So we used to start at 11. You had to get yourself prepared, make sure the machines was okay, replace any of the bulbs in the auditorium that was out, lose yourself. In other words, you didn't make yourself all that obvious. Oh no, it's an enjoyable job. And then we used to go to lunch, shoot the films, and then have a tea break. 9 o'clock, have an organ break, and you used to finish work, obviously, at the end of the last feature, which would be about 11 o'clock, that's give or take.
Nearly a 12-hour day.
Yeah. It wasn't what one would say manual work, but you had to keep your wits about you, you know.
And how many days a week?
Six. Oh, yeah, 6 days a week. It's on a rotation. I mean, you would probably be off Monday this week, next week it'd be Tuesday, because Sunday you work just the same, you know. But we were very, very blessed with the owner of the cinema, old Goyd, his name, Goyd. All right, he was a Jewish gent, but he was a real gent. And what he'd done, he used to dress the whole of the staff, I don't mean projectionists, the whole of the staff, ushers, usherettes, receptionists, in a period dress of whatever we were showing. And we also showed some of the best films, mainly by Warner Brothers. Once again, you may not recall them, Gone with the Wind, Boys Town, Men of Boys Town, Old Chicago. You see, you shouldn't have got me on that subject, because once I start on that, you know. In keeping with Goyd dressing the receptionist up, we in turn reciprocated in as much that we bought ourselves some white coats. And we used to walk around, you know, with our white coats on, just a bit of a show, you know. But no, it was a good, enjoyable. And when I say it was the best cinema, when you walked in the foyer, now if you can imagine the size of the foyer was quite large. It had 6-inch sorbo as an underlay on top of carpet, which was around about 2 inches thick. Now you imagine walking on there. You had the feeling that you was in a posh place. You know, really posh. Now, having said that old Goyd was a gentleman, one of my jobs was to put on what we called the plenum. The plenum was an air conditioning plant. And you had to put that on 30 minutes prior to a performance. You had to go downstairs, switch it all on, and then within a half an hour it cleared all the air. Well, one day I forgot it, so I rushed down to the plenum room, I put it on. But then, as you know, or you may be aware, with air conditioning you get condensation. And of course, up in the box you had a porthole, a glass porthole, and then the camera lenses, the projector lenses, well, they all steamed up. Took the porthole out and the lenses steamed up. So all you had out there was nothing at all, you know. Anyway, Goyd phoned us up what is happening to my picture? So we tried to explain the plenum wasn't working, and you won't believe it, he sacked a lot of us. Yeah, as the chief, the second, I was third at that time, and the fourth. The boy was not working. Sacked the lot. He said, "You're finished? Fired. Get out of my cinema." Well, like idiots, we stayed there. We should have walked out, but we didn't. But he apologised afterwards. Oh, yeah, he apologised. But he was a typical irate Jew person, you know. But you couldn't have wished for a more generous man.
So he unsacked you. He didn't make you go.
No, he just, it was just,
it's
I
just
think,
a
it, was, it was just an expression, you know, you're fired, get out of my cinema, you know, my cinema, you know. But no, he was good.
And how long were you working there for? From 37 to?
37 to 40.
So when you joined?
Yeah.
You're right. Now, you mentioned you joined the Army Cadets, but that wasn't at school. Tell me about that. Was that after the war broke out, or?
Before the war, I was in.
What was this Army Cadets?
The Middlesex Regiment.
Now tell me how you joined them and what sort of service you had with them.
I cannot tell you how long I was with them. I could do, if I'd have known you was going to ask that question, I could have sorted out a photograph taken at Paddock Wood, Kent, on our annual camp.
This is Army Cadets?
Army Cadets, oh yes.
So roughly 39, 38?
No, just prior to 30, I would say about 36, 37, something like that. I mean, I've got no true memory of the dates
what
there.
Sort of, why did you decide to join them?
Well, one thing, I've always been impressed with uniforms. I always admired them. Just one of those things. I just joined them. I got pleasure out of it. And that was it.
And where did you have to go? I mean, it was the Middlesex Regiment. Where were they based? I mean, the Army Cadets.
Oh, we were based at Palm Lane, Wilsdon.
That's not terribly far away, is it?
No.
And that was a drill hall, was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And tell me, when you first went there, what uniform or kit did they give you?
The real 1914-1918 war uniform, which would be the khaki with puttees, tunic with a 3.5-inch webbing belt, and a peak cap, buttoned up to your throat, with the Middlesex insignias. Oh yes.
Anything else? Any other kit or?
No, not with them. I just.
Uniform. And so tell me, what training did you get? What was the nature of the training you had?
Physical, PT.
Tell us about that. What type of PT? What sort of thing were you doing?
Well, the normal thing, jumping over the vault horse, climbing up ropes, the usual what you do at school, you know what I mean, that type of thing.
Any route marching or?
We've done a few route marches, yeah, local. But being cadets, they wasn't strenuous, I mean, because we were pretty young, you know, teenagers. Oh, we've done route marches under canvas and all that stunts.
So what other training? What about drill? How did you take to drill? I know you like drill.
I like the drill. We had the Smalley Enfield rifles, 303, and I used to like the drill, the arms drill.
And what did you like about drill? Some people like it, some people don't, but, I mean, What was it you liked about it? What was important about it to you?
Well, I think the main thing one would say is the mixing with the other boys, comradeship.
No, about the drill. Sorry, I'm.
Oh, the drill. Once you got the hang of it, you just progressed to try and make
the time.
It was a bit of a mystery. What the hell I wanted to throw a rifle up in the air and that type of thing, but. It all boiled down that it was discipline. Discipline.
Now, what other types of training would you get?
What with them? Well, I progressed from them to the territorials.
So you didn't do any weapons training with the cadets?
No, not really. Not really. I never fired a rifle with the cadets.
But what about then camps, summer camps or anything?
Well, the camp we went to, as I say, Paddock Wood.
Now, what do you remember about that?
It was quite a nice camp. It was Whitbread's Hop Farm where we stayed. We were there for 2 weeks. We had a night march, I remember that, only too true.
And why? What do you remember about that?
Because it was pouring with rain. And then we done a weekend camp at Wheat Hampstead, which is further up the road from here, the other side of St Albans that way. Yeah. Nothing spectacular about that at all, just a case of going there for Saturday into Sunday, nothing at all.
Now, when did you join the Territorials?
I then transferred from the...
It was a transfer, was it?
Well, I left them and joined them. So
which Territorials did you join? Which battalion?
3rd City of London Royal Fusiliers.
Now, are they Royal Fusiliers? Are they part of the London Regiment? I'm never quite sure about that. It gets a bit complicated. The London.
Well, they were the 3rd Regiment of the Royal Fusiliers, and I'm not sure now whether the London... I don't think the London come into it. And funny enough, they were just off of, I think it was somewhere in the vicinity of Harrow Road, Parade Street, round that way. I remember you had more than 1800 odd. And from there...
Now, what did the, did you get any different kit or anything that with them?
No, same kit. Well, I mean, when I say same kit, I mean, obviously it wasn't the cadet's kit. But it's the same uniform, different cap badge, obviously.
So, and this would be about 37 or 38?
37 onwards.
And what sort of training did you do with them then?
Very, very similar, only a little bit more into it. And if you remember the Munich crisis?
That's 38, yeah.
We got called up then.
Now tell me about that.
Well, rather comical in one respect. I was sent, in common with all the others, to Ashford in Kent. And there's a factory there, Vickers Armstrong's Munitions. Quite a big building with a flat roof. And on one corner was a Lewis gun. On the other corner was a Lewis gun. And I had to man one of the Lewis guns. And that was the sole protection of that factory, which was very good, I thought, useless. And then I just stayed in, and it was just the ordinary thing. Oh yes, I got made a Lance Corporal.
Now what about weapons training? Yeah, did you get that with them?
Well, I mean, I having the cadets training was a big consolation to me, because I didn't go through the real recruits initiation training, because I was already trained. So I became what was known as a rear rank instructor. You know, it was, we went to Bisley, but the other one, I truthfully can't remember where it was. It was an army range. No, I can't remember. I'll be only guessing. I just can't. All I know about it was very, very adjacent to the River Thames, because every now and again you would see the Thames barges. That is, I don't know.
You were explaining the magpie to us.
Well, if I can just explain what a target is. I mean, when you're looking at it, you've got the ball. The next ring is the inner. The next ring is the magpie. The next ring is the outer. The next ring, my God, I've missed it. Now, the magpie has got its name because when you're a marker down in the butts, you have a stick with the disc at the top, and if you hit the magpie, you twist the stick. One stick is black. One side is black. It's black and white. Now you go out in the garden. Yes, I was very, very good at shooting, left-handed. Well, any rifle, yes, is a right-handed because the bolt action's on the right. Now I got into more. Can't shoot right-handed them, and I said, put me down on the butts and I will beat any right-handed person you've got, and I'll be left. And I did. The only danger was, have you fired a rifle? I'm not being funny.
They're not interested in me. So
when you're holding a rifle here and the bolt is here, well, you know the bolt is that little lever. Well, I had to do this and pull it back.
Put your hand on the other side.
Yeah, like that. As opposed to you doing this. The problem is, when I'd done that and the shell ejected the blowback, I could have got the blast in my face, but fortunately that didn't happen.